Well, continuing on in our spiritual things, it's the series we've been in. It's been about a month, I guess, now. We still got a few more to go. There's a lot to talk about in this, but we've covered several things so far. We've covered who are we? Who are you? We asked the question the first week, who are you? Because most times when you're asked that question, you're going to give a name, you're going to give a family name, or what you do for a living, or something like that. But that's not really who we are, because those things can change. That can change tomorrow. But then does that mean that you're somebody different now? We've looked at who is God, because if we're in a spiritual battle, if there's things going on around us, we need to know who God is. Who are we with? Who is for us? And we've looked at who the enemy is. If we're in a battle, if things are going on, who is it that we're fighting against, and who is fighting against us? And then last week, we looked at the armor that we have available. We didn't cover it all. You can read it through. It's in your Bibles. But we looked at a couple pieces of that, the armor that we have available. But we must know who we are. Every week we cover a little bit of this because it's absolutely crucial that we know who we are. We will never be fully successful in this battle that's raging around us, the spiritual battle, if we don't know who we are. We as Christians, we've rightly determined that we have sin in our lives, that we've sinned, that we've made a mess, that we do wrong. We've rightly determined that we need a Savior. That's what makes us a Christian. We've rightly determined that Jesus is that Savior. He's the way, He's the truth, He's the life. We know that we have salvation. But for most of us, what that means is that we've said a prayer and our sins are forgiven, and one day when we die, we go to heaven. And it does mean that. That's not incorrect, but it means so much more. And we need to realize that it's of importance. It's not just a play on words. It's not just something that will make us feel better. It's not warm and fuzzy feelings. It actually matters that we know and believe rightly. In Christ, our sins are not forgiven and covered. In Christ, our sins are forgiven and cleansed. It's important that you recognize and know the difference, because as I mentioned in the other one, we had it explained in a way that really makes sense, that most of us feel like we're filthy, but we have a covering over us, that in that covering we're somehow clean. That's not what it is. You are not filthy with a covering on the outside of you. You are cleansed. You are made new. You are washed in the blood of Christ. You are not who you once were. You are forgiven and cleansed, not simply covered. We looked at last week that we were once bound by the powers of darkness, it tells us in Colossians. But now God has transferred us into the kingdom of His Son, into the kingdom of His love. We are not in darkness anymore. We're not bound by darkness anymore. We're in a new kingdom. We're in a new place. We're not who we once were, and we're not where we once were. Who is God? Elohim is the first word that we have for God. It's a plural word because we serve one God in three persons: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three in one. God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and ever-present. The three big words that we've looked at: omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. There's some theology for us. All-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present. Nothing and no one is equal to or even close in power to God. We need to recognize that and understand that. This battle that's raging is not good versus evil, and they're two equal opposing forces, and how's it going to turn out? That's not what this is. In your life, it's no different. It's not you with the Holy Spirit inside of you, and let's just see if we can be victorious in this life. That's not what it is. You are victorious in this life. The Spirit in you, the Holy Spirit, is greater than the spirit in the world. That's just the way it is. There's nothing that He doesn't know or understand. There's things that you won't know and understand, but the Spirit of God inside of you, there's nothing He doesn't know, and there's nothing He doesn't understand. And there is nowhere that He is not. That's twofold. That means there's nowhere we can go where we're hiding from Him. There's nowhere we can go where He's not going to see and know what we're doing. But there's also nowhere we can be that He's not with us. There's no scenario that we'll find ourselves in where he isn't with us. He's promised to never leave us and never forsake us. And it's important that we recognize that God alone is creator. God alone. Everything and everyone else is created. God alone is creator. Satan, the devil, Lucifer, he doesn't create anything. He copies and he imitates and he tries to be, but he is not creator. He is created. The enemy. He's a created angel. He wanted to be God. He wanted to be worshipped as God. And he was thrown out of heaven. We read the scriptures. He's thrown out of heaven down to the earth. He is not equal or even close in power to God. However, he does have power. And he does have some authority. He had both when he was in heaven. Power and authority. Many say that he would have been an archangel. He was a guardian angel. He was a level in heaven. So he would have had both while he was there. While he was under God's authority. But when he was removed and when he was thrown out, he still had power, but he had no authority to use it until man came under his authority through disobedience to God. When we did the one thing that God asked us not to do, we transferred ourselves from God's authority and his light into darkness, into obedience to Satan. Now, from that point on, he has power and he had authority to use it. That's where we found ourselves. When we read of the tempting of Jesus in the wilderness, Luke chapter 4, verses 5 through 7, they say, "Then the devil, taking him, Jesus, up on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, 'All this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish.'" It's interesting. He says, "Therefore, if you will worship before me, all this will be yours." He's talking as if it's his. He's talking as if he has authority, because he does. Because we gave it to him through obedience to him. Every time that we sinned before Christ, we were giving Satan authority. He says, "Showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time," and he says, "All this authority I will give you," because he has it. "This has been delivered to me," Satan says, "and I give it to whomever I wish." And it's interesting that in the exchange, Jesus doesn't dispute that. He doesn't dispute the truth of those statements. He doesn't say, "Oh, you have no authority. None of this is yours. It's not yours to give." He doesn't dispute that at all. Rather, he counters it with the word of God, with truth, with the ultimate truth of knowing why he's here. And he doesn't worship Satan. He doesn't sin, and it's important that he doesn't, because one, if he had sinned, he couldn't be the perfect, spotless lamb to take away the sin of the world. But secondly, if he had sinned, he would have brought himself under the authority of Satan. But Jesus never sinned. The perfect, spotless lamb. And through his death and his resurrection, Jesus now has all authority, he tells us in Matthew. All authority, he says specifically, if you read in Matthew, the end of Matthew, in heaven and on the earth. And he has delegated that authority to you and me as Christians, as believers, as followers of Christ. So this week is Spiritual Things Part 5. We're back in Ephesians chapter 6. So if you have your phones or your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 6. There is armor available to us. It's listed in our text if you read on from what we've been reading each week. And we need to remember that, as we talked about last week, we put on the armor. It's not done for us. It's available to us as believers, as followers of Christ. But we put it on, and we make sure that it's in place. It's just like Jesus went to the cross. He died. He rose again, that we have salvation. It's available. It's a free gift, grace. But we need to receive it. We need to come in faith and take it. The armor is there. It's available. It's produced. It works. It's valid. It's strong. But we put it on. The belt of truth is a necessity. Without knowing truth, the The rest of the armor will not fit in place. It won't be held together properly. It won't work as designed. And the breastplate of righteousness is required because we need to know that it's His righteousness, not our own. He's provided it for us through the cross and through His resurrection. It's not our own. We have to remember that we put on the breastplate of righteousness because it's not our righteousness. We can't put our own on or we're not covered. We have to put on His righteousness, His truth, not our own. We cannot cover ourselves. We can't go find fig leaves and cover ourselves and believe that it's all okay. It didn't work in the garden and it won't work for us. We need God to provide that for us. And that's exactly what He's done. It's not based on us. It's not based on how much we read the Bible last week. It's not based on how many hours of prayer we had, how many Sunday attendances we had in the last 52 weeks. Those things matter and they're important, but that is not our armor. That is not our grace. That is not our standing in Christ. It's solely based on Jesus, a free gift of grace. Ephesians chapter 6, we'll start reading in verse 10. It reads, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We declare, as always, that your word is truth. It is absolute final authority. Not our desire, not our opinion, not society around us. Your word is truth. We will allow it to shape and mold and change us. And we invite you, Holy Spirit, into this room and the room of those watching this video. God, we ask that you would minister to each one, that you would stir hearts, that you would teach minds, and Holy Spirit, that you would do in us and through us and among us what only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm convinced, as many others are, that one of the main battlefields that we fight and face is the mind. It's our mind, it's our thoughts, it's our thinking, it's what we dwell on, it's what we mull over, it's what we allow in to our mind. This is where the majority of the war is fought. We don't really see it that way because it doesn't feel like we're fighting a war, but that is where we win or lose. Your mind is where you win or lose. We've talked about it before, but it truly is mind over matter. We used to hear that, and people used to say that, and then there was a time where, oh, no, that's wrong, that's just silly. But it really is mind over matter. The brain doesn't control the mind. The mind controls the brain. That's the way that it works. It's a scientific fact. It's proven by neuroscience. Our brain is moldable. It's changeable. It can be shaped. It can be rewired. It can be renewed. And it's done by the way that we think. It's done by what we allow in. It's done by what we dwell on. It's done by what we mull over. It's done by what we receive in and declare as truth in our lives. The greatest battlefield is our mind. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, it gives us something hopeful. If the main battlefield is the mind, 1 Corinthians 2, verse 16 says, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." That's an encouragement to us. If you're a believer, you're a follower of Christ, you have the mind of Christ. It's one of those things. We have the mind of Christ. It's there. It's available. It's provided for us. But it's already accomplished. But we need to choose whether we're going to utilize it or not. We can use our own mind. We have the free will to do that. We can think. We can do all the different things. We can make our own judgments. We can come up with our own opinions. We can make our own truth. We can do all of that. Or we can put on the mind of Christ. It's an option. It's a choice that we have. Just like the armor, it's there. It's available. We choose whether we put it on and use it. The armor is available to you. You may never put it on, and that's up to you. But it doesn't mean it's not available and provided for. You could fight without it and get beat all the time and wonder why life sucks so bad. Or you can put on your armor and you can fight. You can think all kinds of stuff and get all kinds of twisted in your mind. Or you can put on the mind of Christ. It's a choice that we have. We're all being transformed into something. We're all being renewed one way or the other. That's just the reality of life. There is too much in this world around us to not be transformed and renewed by something or someone. That's just the way that it works. In this day and age, there's no shortage of things vying for our attention and our loyalty. There's no shortage of answers. You need answers, you Google it. You can find any answer you want. There's no shortage of self-help gurus that'll tell you all the 5 steps of how to do whatever it is you need to do, how to fix whatever you need to fix, how to get better at whatever you need to get better at. There's no shortage of truth out there. In fact, you can just make your own. Your truth is your truth. My truth is my truth. And we sometimes think that, you know, when the scriptures were written, or for Paul, like if he would just understand the world we live in and all the things that are out there for us. But it's really not much different. There's more technology. It looks different. It might sound different. But it's not really any different than the early church had. The early church, if you look at history and you look at all of the context that we can have for the times when the scriptures were written, when Paul and James and John and all of these guys were writing the word of God inspired through the Holy Spirit, they had cults all around them. And like cults that were doing some crazy stuff. Cults that were displaying some real power. Like this was all around them. They had corrupt government enforcing all kinds of craziness. They had evil abounding every step of the way. They were persecuted beyond what we could ever imagine. Beyond anything we've ever experienced. They had philosophy teachers and philosophy that was very pronounced and heavy in society. They had all of that. They had all of what we have. It just might have looked different. And Paul's advice to the church then is still valid for us today. Romans 12:2, he says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Do not be conformed to the world. Don't be conformed to all the self-help gurus. Don't be conformed to all the truth. Don't make up your own truth. Don't get into all the nonsense. Instead, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word conformed, it refers to conforming oneself to the outer fashion or outward appearance, accommodating oneself to a model or a pattern. That's what we're all doing. We're all accommodating ourselves to a model or a pattern. Whose model and whose pattern are we accommodating ourselves to? Scripture tells us that apart from Christ, we were blinded to the truth because we were in darkness. We were under the power of darkness. It was the Holy Spirit who opened us up to truth, capital T, truth. Without it, we were blind. We were in darkness. We were under the power of the kingdom of darkness. And the Holy Spirit brings us into all truth. And it's the truth that will set us free. So if we want the self-help gurus, we're not getting free. If we make our own truth, we're not getting free. If we're in some kind of nonsense, we're not getting free. Because it's the Holy Spirit who brings us into all truth. And it's His truth that sets us free. Previously, we believed lies. That's the reality of it. The world is full of lies. The world is under the influence of the powers of darkness. And their father, Scripture says, the devil, is described as the father of lies. In John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus says, "You are of the father of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." That's what we knew. That's all we knew. That's what the world gives, because that's what they know. That's the kingdom of darkness which we were once bound by. Now we've been transferred by God into the kingdom of his Son. We're not who we once were anymore. Those lies we don't need to believe anymore. We're not where we were anymore. We're not under the power of darkness anymore. We're brought into the light. We're obedient to Christ. We're set free by the truth. The Holy Spirit of God himself lives inside of us. And now part of our warfare is exactly that. Renew our mind to the truth. Because we're so entrenched in the lies. We're so entrenched in a way of life. There's all around us is this false reality. But that's all we knew for so long. And as long as we continue in what we know, as long as we continue in our own ways, we will never be fully free. Because it's the truth that sets us free. And Jesus is the truth. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. Without him, we don't know the way. We're lost. Without him, we don't know truth, because he is the truth. And without him, we don't have life, because he is life. Everything that God has, Satan tries the opposite. That's the reality. He can't create anything. So he tries to imitate and copy everything God created. If God created it, Satan's trying to imitate it or destroy it, one or the other. Whatever the truth is, Satan's got a lie. Whatever God does, Satan's trying to do the opposite. We need to recognize this in our warfare, because that's how we know when the battle's raging. That's how we know where to fight. That's how we know where to direct our time and our prayers and our efforts. As we fight this battle, we need to know how to recognize what the enemy is up to in our lives and in our families and in the world around us. When our mind is renewed, we're truly becoming who we were created to be. God created family. And Satan is attacking the family unit. Because he can't recreate anything, so he's trying to attack and pervert it. God created it, says male and female. Satan's trying to destroy God's creation. God brings life. Satan brings death. God is truth. Satan's a father of lies. God is a lion and a lamb. Satan roars like a lion. If we know the truth, then we know what's a lie. But if you don't know the truth, then you'll never recognize a lie. And we can only know the truth by reading the truth. It's important not to earn our salvation, not to feel good about ourselves, not to tick off boxes, not to be blessed. Because it's truth, because it's him, because it's life. And if we don't know what this says, then we don't know a lie when we hear it. And we're walking around believing all kinds of stuff that isn't true. And we don't even know. We're losing the battle because we don't even know. If we know what God is doing, if we know what God's perfect will is, then we can recognize what the enemy's doing. We can recognize when he's working. If our mind is renewed, the battle's well on its way to being won. When we know what God's perfect will is, then we'll be able to recognize the enemy's work. Because we can sense when an attack is happening. When we see something in our lives or in our minds or our family or the world around us that is the opposite or a perversion of God's creation or his perfect plan, the enemy's working. The enemy's attacking. You're in a battle. Put on some armor. Get some courage. Fight. Do something. We weren't saved to sit on a couch and wait to die to go to heaven. That's not what it's about. It's never what it's about. I say all the time, if you're bored in this Christian life, you're doing it wrong. Because there's nothing boring about this. If you're in the trenches of this battle, you will be anything but bored. Put on some armor. Get the helmet of salvation on. Get your breastplate of righteousness. Put on your belt of truth. Get your sword in your hand. Start fighting. We love to fight. We love to argue. We love to bicker. We love to be right. So fight. Just do it the right way. Do it spiritually. Do it how we're called to. Do it in a way you can actually win. You have the mind of Christ. You can renew your mind and not follow the lies. The first step is that helmet of salvation, protecting our most vital body part, our head. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. If you don't follow him, if you don't know him, if you don't believe in him, there is no fighting for you. There is no armor for you. There is no truth for you because you're still in the power of darkness. You're blind and you're bound. But if you know Jesus, if you've chosen to repent and to follow him, you've been transferred from darkness and you're now in light. You're no longer blind. Your eyes have been opened. The Spirit of God lives in you. Armor's available. Transformation's available. There's weapons. There's armor. You're now a son or a daughter. And you're in a battle. If you're following and you're being conformed to the world, you're losing. You might be doing all kinds of fighting, but you're getting nowhere. You're working in the wrong kingdom. You're playing right into Satan's game. But if you're not being conformed to this world, if you're renewing your mind, if you're putting on the mind of Christ, the greatest battlefield you face on this earth is already being won. Never forget that Jesus has all authority. All. In heaven and on earth. And he's delegated that authority to those who believe, to his followers, to his disciples, to us, if we're in that camp. You have authority, Scripture says, to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. But again, that's something you do. You have the authority to do it. When those thoughts come, you can't control what comes. But you control what stays. Is it lining up with truth? Let it renew your mind. Is it a lie? Make it obedient to Christ. You have authority to know truth and see the devil's work and wage war. Remembering that our fight is not against flesh and blood, it's against the powers of darkness. Just think of if someone was coming for your family. What would you do? Would you fight? Would you hide in a corner? Would you sit on the couch? What would you do? Well, someone's coming for your family. What are you going to do about it? Always remember that nothing can separate you from the love of God. And that in all things, Scripture says, in Christ, we are more than overcomers. Super victorious, that word says. The battle is already won. Our role to play is to pray. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word of truth. We thank you that we have been translated and transferred from darkness into light. We thank you that we no longer have to be bound by darkness and believe lies, but we can be in the light believing truth. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would lead us and bring us into all truth. And we thank you that that truth sets us free. We thank you that we are free. We declare it over our lives and our families because Jesus Christ has set us free. And the truth says that he who the Son sets free is free indeed. We declare that we're free because the Spirit of God lives inside of us. And the truth says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Help us to renew our minds, Holy Spirit. Show us ways that we're believing lies and we're being conformed to the world so that we can change it. Help us to not be conformed to the world, but rather to be transformed by the renewing of our minds in your truth. Show us how to put on the armor. Show us how to have the mind of Christ and live and walk in it. Thank you that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing, your word says, in the heavenly places. We rest in Jesus that you have all authority in heaven and on earth. And we pray, God, that your kingdom come, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Help us to wear this armor and use this sword of the Spirit, your word, God. Help us to wield it well. Help us to push back darkness. Help us to demolish strongholds and advance your kingdom while we build your church. We thank you, Jesus, that the victory is already won. Help us to live as King's kids, sons and daughters of the Most High God. Help us to use the name of Jesus that saved us and heals us and delivers us and sets us free. Help us to use the name Jesus, our Savior and our Lord, that is above every other name. And we thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.